Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krops.
Welcome, everybody. Second hour today of Political Coffee, our tribute to Rush Limbaugh and his impact in our lives. Your life, my life, the future of America, the future of liberty, not just in America, but across the world. How do you remember Rush? What do you think his impact was and will be in your life? That's what we're talking about today. Now, to just set this up quickly before I go back to the phones. At the bottom of this hour, I will take no more calls because I'll have Greg Clapper on, who is a radio station owner, a talk show host, and a programmer who first brought Rush Limbaugh to Oregon a long time ago. We're going to talk with him about Rush's impact, both in radio, but also in politics and where we go from here. 503-589 is the 1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line, 503-589-1220. Got lots of emails to read also. I'll try to get it all in as we go along here. Let's go right back to the phones. We'll, Tim, thanks for hanging on. I appreciate it. And your thoughts on El Rushbo.
Well, one of the things I'd have to say is the call screener. He was phenomenal, Jeff. And,
Bo Snerdly. James Golden is his real name, but, Rush called him Bo.
Well, what Rush did is held the left in check. And he would initiate issues so that people like you and I didn't have to initiate them locally. I gave him, and I'll just go through this real quick. When I got started, the call screener wouldn't let me come on sooner than every 5 weeks. So I had to tell him how long it was since I'd been on the show before he would let me come on.
Wow.
What I was going to tell Rush, it was about 2 weeks ago, and he said that he wanted me to do it on one of his Friday shows. So what I was going to tell him was that as a result of what I learned from him, I retired. And I have trademarks in Citizens Lobbyist and Make Oregon Great Again. And based on my involvement in government, I took on teaching. And what was the difference between immigration and an invasion? And the last one was a developing country to achieve freedom. Democracy is established by a middle class. In America, direct your efforts to destroying the middle class. So there you go, Jeff.
Interesting. Yeah. So generally when you got through and you got to talk to Rush, how did you feel about your conversation when you were finished?
Well, that he was a teacher, but he had directed the things that I was interested in general, so that I could walk away from that and I would have direction. And it allowed me to go from what he said to what I wanted to do.
Fantastic.
So he would give me direction on the questions I had.
That's what a good teacher does. Truly. That's what a mentor does. Not just a teacher, but a mentor. And it's a lesson to each of us. Tim, thank you. I appreciate your thoughts about that. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. We have three lines open. Let's go to our next caller. Caller, good morning. Who are you and what do you have to say today about Rush? Good morning. Are you there?
Hello?
Hi there. Who is this?
Hey, this is Ron.
Hi, Ron. Good to hear your voice, friend. How are you?
I guess my name has dropped off of your caller ID.
Yeah, it has, because we actually... We reworked all the phones and we lost all of that data.
Well, okay. I thought maybe it's just because I hadn't called in for a while.
Your thoughts on Rush today, friend?
Well, you talk about an encouraging person, and then you just mentioned now a mentor. I don't know, Jeff, if you I know you are a Mark Levin fan. Yesterday I was listening to the Buck Sexton, and he said a statement at all that you almost quoted verbatim about Rush making Donald Trump possible. Yesterday, Buck Sexton said, without Rush, there would have been no 2016.
I think so. And I think part of that, to be honest with you, is, I mean, you know, Rush talked about how he was interested in, in fact, Donald Trump, when I heard Trump yesterday on, I think it was Hannity's show, talk about it, it was, Rush wasn't entirely sold on Donald Trump. He was intrigued by him, but it was, you know, Trump's fearlessness in being unafraid to stand up and say things and be controversial is a lot like Rush. Remember when Rush used to do, you know, collar abortions, talking about the horrible concept of abortion and illustrating absurdity by being absurd? Trump does those same things. And yet he's real, Ron. And just the bond we had with Rush Limbaugh, and just to be honest with you, Ron, I don't know if you feel this way, but I do. After Rush admitted, you know, that he was human, in terms of, you know, his addiction to OxyContin, you know, my bond with him grew even stronger because he admitted, and then he went and did something about it, and he came back stronger. And that's a bond. He lived what he preached, Ron, I guess is the way to say it. And Trump did the same thing. Trump made these promises and he kept them. And Rush used to say the only person who can break the bond between Trump and his devotees is Donald Trump.
Right, right. It's Trump himself.
Yes, and the same thing is true with Rush. The only person who could have ever have broken the bond that we had with Rush was Rush, and he never did.
Exactly. He earned his audience.
Yes, he did.
He was also, some people have said that he was, came across when they first heard him as being proud, but he had an amazing humility. He was very proud of his accuracy, but he also was very quick when he was aware if he had said something that wasn't accurate.
Yes, he would make corrections.
In fact, the very last program I heard him, he corrected it. He did that.
Yeah, I think I listened to his last show ever that he did also. You know, I'm going to miss him. Ron, thanks for calling. I appreciate it. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. A couple of quick emails here before I go to Super Dave. Wilbur writes back, I find it interesting how Rush Limbaugh's worshippers seem to believe he walked on water. Don't some of the events of his life prove otherwise? And we've talked about him. He admitted and apologized for several things. So, yeah, he was human. Mo writes about El Rushbo, you know, just a little Spanish lingo mixed in. Says, I've listened to Rush for over 40 years, which means you had to be listening to him, by the way, Mo, when he was in Sacramento. He was one of the most influential in my decision to get more involved in the dirty game of politics, not in the holding of an office, but along with Lars to become a PCP. What a loss for America. What a loss for conservatives. What I liked most about Rush was how he illustrated the absurd by being absurd. He is the father of talk radio. I totally agree with Art that he needs a Rush library. He would be greatly missed by myself and a lot of other Constitution-loving Americans. I've never liked HuffPost, but after their headlines yesterday, I actually detest them. We all knew they were not fans of Rush, but they did provide Rush with a lot of material. There will never be an equal to Rush, but there are a lot of better talk show hosts because of him. Rest in peace, friend of America. Yeah, that says it all. I'm better because of Rush. I hope you are too. Let's go to Super Dave. Hey, brother, what do you have to say today about Rush?
Hey, how you doing, buddy? Yeah,
good,
I was devastated. I didn't feel like talking to pretty much anybody because I felt like I lost a friend, a good friend. But just to let you know that he had a lot of people like yourself, Jeff. You've got a little bit in that he produced, Jean Carroll. You remember Jean Carroll?
I was on the same radio station with her. She is a good friend. Yeah.
Yes, Jeff Bourne, good friend. He's now working at another station. I mean, and the thing is, he just leads on. He was one person after the other gentleman that passed on, but I tell you what, he's the one that made everybody else. The first time that I ever heard of him was I was at work, and there was a lot of liberal people in where I worked. And I tell you what, out of all those 6 to maybe 8 people that were listening to him at lunchtime, we would take up take a break. We would save our break till lunchtime. We'd take our last break and save it to that so we can listen to him. These were liberal people that were saying, you know, but listening to them changed them. So he changed, one person changed at least 6 to 8 people at that time. That is amazing. That is amazing when they keep doing that. And that's what Rush did. He gave more just of one person, and it went throughout all. Just like God does. You understand what takes one person, and God will finish the rest of it.
Amen. Amen. Well said. You have just made the case for exactly why I say what I say about you persuading the persuader.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you, brother. Back in a moment. 7:20.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It's 22 minutes past 7 o'clock. Stacey Ann's up with Good Morning Salem at the top of the 8 o'clock hour. Just a quick programming note for you. At the bottom of this hour at 7:30, I'm going to take no more phone calls. Because the last half hour of the show is going to be dedicated to a conversation with Greg Clapper, former radio station owner, programmer, talk show host, political consultant, and he is the guy who first brought Rush Limbaugh into Oregon. I'm going to talk with him about the impact of that. So if you want to call, 503-589-1220 is a Power Buick GMC talk lane. Better do it. Now, a couple of quick emails before we go to Julie. from a state employee who shall never be named. Rush Limbaugh not only saved AM radio, but is the father of all talk radio. He did not only ignite a conservative movement, save the Republican Party, and was responsible for most of, if not all, conservative gains over the past three decades. Rush Limbaugh provided an example of what it looks like to persuade the persuadables. How did he do it? Well, that would take more time than we have, but there are two things that I would note. Number one, he knew how to speak to the heart, to target people's deep felt concerns, fears, desires, and aspirations. Rush instinctively knew how to use humor, deep penetrating questions and insightful analysis that focused on the emotions. He did this with great passion and a masterful use of language. Number two, Rush persuaded the persuadables because he always focused his message on the question, why? Related to the topic under discussion. You can't persuade the persuadables if you don't address why things are important and why people act the way they do. He followed up his focus on why by answering the what and how questions. But he persuaded millions for over 30 years by focusing on why. Rush was the great persuader and chief of talk radio, and I will deeply miss him, as will I. Yesterday felt like a gut punch. Yesterday I felt much the way I did through the entire day after my father passed away this last July. That's really how I felt yesterday. Lee writes an email about Mr. Rush. The first time I heard Rush scrolling through the stations, I thought he was another Howard Stern type as he was passionately hammering on the topic. I pushed the search button soon after and rocked my way back to work. But something he said stuck. A few days later, I sat in my car attempting to find his voice again. He's been one of my teachers and fueled my passion for what my family has fought for in war. I pray that others will continue his legacy. Then Anne Marie writes, I will probably be the only one today to tell a different side of the story of Rush. I'm not proud of my longtime ignorance. I used to simply swallow the head in the sand doctrine. I've been raised with politics and religion should never be mixed. The first time I heard Rush's show was on my way to visit my Aunt Ruth and Uncle Don's home during Obama's nomination. They were watching on TV and I was turned off by his harsh voice, ranting, disrespectful, arrogant. However, I highly honor my aunt and uncle, so I really listened and began to open up my mind. So I credit that event to where I find myself now. I'm not only interested in how politics affects my world and my faith. I choose not to miss political coffee to be involved and influence others. Thank you, Jeff. It's very kind of you, Anne Marie. I appreciate it. Let's go to the phones. Go to Julie. Julie, good morning. Your thoughts on Rush today.
What people miss about Rush, and I loved him. I mean, I loved him. He influenced me to, for 10 years, I wrote a column for a local paper. And I wasn't going to go back into journalism, but I did. Rush's talent, I mean, he did, you know, illustrate absurdity with the absurd, but his understatements were the powerful statements. They're the ones, they were the ones with all the true meat. And my second point is he always did the why thing. And that's probably the most important question in all of journalism. It's not who, what, or when. It is why it happened and why it's happening. He will be missed. I mean, he was giant. And I felt the same way you did. I felt about as down as I did when my husband was killed. So, he was purely a giant among men. And, I spent half the day yesterday in tears.
Yeah, it was a tough day for so many people. I got to tell you something, Julia. I mean, let me just ask you this: what do you think his real lasting impact is going to be?
I think it's, first of all, I mean, his real lasting impact is he did save AM radio, and I've always loved radio. But I think his lasting impact will be that he brought to the forefront the idea that you can talk about your conservative politics with, and be respected for it. That was so important because conservatives were kind of a group that's far flung. I call myself a fiscal conservative, not so much a social conservative, but I'm a very, very fiscally conservative. And he made the whole thing fit together like a puzzle, that you can be a fiscal conservative and still be a conservative. You can be a social conservative and still be a conservative. And you can be a constitutionalist and still be a conservative. Well, the thing that struck me was when young people would call and they're, 16, 17, 18 years old, and he would spend so much time with them. And that was impressive.
And that's why he knew that it was the future of the nation for those young people to grasp liberty and how conservatism preserves the most precious things that human beings can have. And that's life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, these inalienable rights. And that's why he wrote the Rush Revere series. And I can tell you from personal experience, Julie, having read to my grandsons the impact that it's making in their lives for the long term. Julie, thank you. I appreciate you calling today. Folks, Greg Clapper's up with me here. I'm taking no more phone calls from here on out. You want to stay tuned and listen to Greg, who talks about Rush and why he brought Rush to Oregon a long time ago. And as if
call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
Stop the car. 24 minutes till the top of the 8 o'clock hour. Stacey Ann is up next with Good Morning Salem at 8. Just a quick note to all of you. I'm taking no more phone calls from here to the end of the show because I want to have this extended conversation with Greg Clapper. Folks, Rush Limbaugh's, this is my prediction to you, and I want you to pay attention to this. Rush Limbaugh's greatest impact has yet to be felt. And I'll explain that in my conversation with Greg. Greg Clapper joins us right now. Greg Clapper, former radio station owner, political consultant, is the guy who first brought Rush Limbaugh to Oregon. Greg, good morning.
Hey, top of the day, Jeff. How you doing?
Fantastic. Other than, like a lot of people, just trying to make sense of Rush's passing, which, Mark Levin said something yesterday, Greg, that I thought was pretty profound. I thought Rush would be with us until well into his 80s and would continue to do what he did, and he just left too soon. And yesterday was just a tough day for a lot of people. In fact, I told my audience this morning, Greg, I felt kind of the way I did when my dad died last July, in that someone who was a profound mentor to me was now gone. And today we've been just, the listeners have been calling and talking about their experiences with Rush. Many of them had called through and I related the story the time I met Rush. And so why don't you share with the audience your experience in bringing Rush to Oregon and why you did and what you thought the impact of that was. And then we'll just go from there, see where it goes.
Okay. Well, you got to understand, Rush Limbaugh is one of these broadcasters that are just so rare. I put him up on the same shelf with Paul Harvey. When Paul Harvey died, went off the air, there was nobody who was going to replace Paul Harvey. And this is what Rush Limbaugh is. He did something so unique and he did it so well that you just can't replace a guy like that. And he really changed broadcasting. Now, I had done broadcasting from the time I was 16. I was in high school and got a job at a little radio station in my hometown, as did Rush Limbaugh in Fort Girardeau. And he came up through the ranks just as I did. And you start as a guy who goes in and just runs the equipment at age 16. And then eventually you become a part-time disc jockey in a, you know, in a late-night shift somewhere. And then you gradually work your way up and you know, then you make your way into broadcasting. And that's what Rush did. And so he was moving up through, as many of us were. And eventually I ended up owning some radio stations by the time I was 29, 30 years old. And one of the radio stations I had was in Gresham here, you know, suburb of Portland. And I was looking to do some news talk. Well, I was just looking to survive. That's a better way to put it.
Yeah, right.
You know, and so I talked to this guy who gave me my first radio job back when I was 16, back in Altoona, Pennsylvania. And he said, "How's it going?" I said, "Well, it's really tough. You know, I get this low-powered AM radio station. I'm trying to figure a way to not starve out here." He said, "Okay. Take it to News Talk and immediately go out and bring on Rush Limbaugh." And I said, "Who's Rush Limbaugh?" He said, "Just do what I tell you." He said, "You were never too smart. So, you know, just do what I tell you. The guy's brilliant." And I listened to Limbaugh and I thought, wow, that's really something, because back in those days, you know, he was doing outrageous stuff. And I thought, well, this may be one of those guys that sort of passes in the night, you know, just doing outrageous stuff. And anyway, my buddy says, just put them on. And at the time, there were no other radio stations in all of Oregon that had them. The big stations were afraid to put them on. And it was because back in those days, and this would have been about 1989 or 1990, right when Limbaugh was going on WABC in New York.
ABC, yeah.
Yeah. And so they were trying to put him into Seattle. And what happened was the Bullitt sisters, it was a family, they had all this money and it was just an iconic family up there. And money came from blogging and things like that. But by then, the two daughters were in charge of the company and they were outrageous libs. And so they owned Como in Seattle, KOMO, which was the ABC affiliate up there. They had the TV station and an AM/FM, and they had Como Radio, and it was News Talk, and it was the second-rated News Talk to Cairo in Seattle. And they didn't want Rush to come in there, and so they decided they would pick up Rush Limbaugh, but they didn't want to play Rush Limbaugh. They would only play the commercials on Rush Limbaugh's show, and then they would run some of it on the weekends. So that was only to prevent Cairo from getting the signal. So what happened? So what happened was they do that. They're playing the commercials, and eventually they did rebroadcast some of the stuff on the weekend when the two Lib sisters heard Rush Limbaugh on the air, and they lost it. They said, "Get him out of here. We're having no part of this thing." Now, those sisters were also the people that owned KGW AM, Kink FM, and KGW Television in Portland. And so they weren't going to pick it up because of the ownership of the stations. And likewise, the big stations in town, you had KEX and you had KXL, and they had corporate managers. And they were not going to pick up Rush Limbaugh, so nobody wanted him. That's how I ended up with a guy. So for 2 years, first of all, I was the first one in Oregon to have Rush Limbaugh. Secondly, I was the only station in all of Oregon for 2 years that had Rush Limbaugh. And, of course, I put it on this midget radio station I have in Gresham. And, man, we're getting ratings everywhere. I'm beating some of the big stations in town because Rush Limbaugh's numbers are so big. And then I did, you know, because I didn't have much in the way of other programming, so I'd play Rush back 9 to noon live, and then I'd play him back again 3 to 6 in the afternoon. So I had Rush Limbaugh all over the air, and I'd play the best of Rush Limbaugh all weekend long. It was like all Rush all the time. And we just got, we got killer numbers, on the thing. Eventually, you know, KXL picked him up. And, the crazy thing was I'm driving around town listening to my own radio station, you know, with Rush Limbaugh on. And Rush comes on, he says, hey, great news. This is when he was signing up the big stations, you know, because he got such big numbers. And he comes on the air and he says, hey, I got great news. We just signed a 50,000-watt blowtorch out of Portland, Oregon, KXL. We're happy to be on. And that's how I found out I didn't have Rush Limbaugh anymore. But anyway, but when I did have it, that was back in the days when he would have those big deals where the Rush to Excellence shows where he would go around the country.
Right.
And he had one down in Long Beach, California. So the head of ABC Talk Radio got a hold of me, and he said, listen, you're on the West Coast like that. We'll pay. You pick up one of your major accounts that advertises on Rush, and we'll pay for you two guys to come down to Long Beach. We'll put you up, and you'll have a private lunch with Rush. I thought, well, this is great. So we get down there, and the lunch turned out to be, well, maybe a dozen of us. But you should have seen who was there. It was not only Rush, but it was like Robert Bork, the nominee for Supreme Court.
Wow.
And Bill Bennett, who was a former head of, you know, one of the cabinet heads. They had a bunch of other type people that were going to be speaking at the Rush to Excellence shows. So anyway, so we had this great lunch with Rush, and we're sitting there. He was a good guy. But he was a broadcaster like me who just started, you know, when he was 16. And we started laughing because I said, so how many times you been fired? Oh, man, and then that started because he did the same thing most guys like in our position would do. You start at 16, you don't know what the heck you're doing, and then you become this disc jockey and you try to do outrageous stuff. And essentially we all did the same thing, which was to emulate Don Imus at WNBC in New York, you know, doing outrageous stuff, except we couldn't do it as well as Imus. So that's how we'd all be getting fired, you know, because we would do stuff, and they'd say, well, you're not really funny, and you're pressing the thing, we're not going to put up with this crap, and they'd fire you. And that's what happened to Rush. He ended up, like, at a station in Pittsburgh, and I'm from Pennsylvania, in a little town in Altoona, about 100 miles outside of Pittsburgh. And he was on this rock station, and he was a rock station morning disc jockey, and he would try to do this stuff, and eventually, of course, it didn't work. And so they said, well, you know, just do time and temperature and stuff. But, yeah, I don't want to do that. I'm going to do this stuff. And they fired him. And he got fired in a couple other places. And he just sort of bummed around and eventually actually got out of broadcasting for a while. But that's when he decided to develop his own shtick. And that's how he came up with what he came up with. And he came out of Sacramento, and a guy from ABC heard him. And he took him the whole way from the Sacramento station right to WABC in New York, and he owned the place. But that was, and that's about the time I picked him up. I wasn't in the group of the original stations, but I came shortly thereafter. And that was when he was doing the outrageous stuff on the air. He would do these updates. And one of the famous ones I remember was there was a gay congressman out of Massachusetts, Barney Frank.
Barney Frank, little boy lollipop.
Little boy lollipop. He was this outrageous, big-mouth gay guy. And, you know, and he would introduce with that horrible song, My Boy Lollipop. You know, it's the Barney Frank update, you know, one of those type things. And he would just do that stuff, and that's where he got all the attention. It would drive the libs absolutely crazy. And, you know, that's how he got all the attention. And eventually he morphed into a guy that would he really did learn a whole lot about policy and politics. And the sophistication that he had later in his broadcast, you know, was phenomenal. I mean, you know,
it was. Greg, hold to that thought. We're at the break, and we'll come back with Greg Clapper, talk about Rush's long-term impact as a whole. Back in a moment.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It's 10 minutes till the top of the hour. We'll just continue our conversation in just a moment with Greg Clapper, who was the radio station owner and programmer who first brought Rush to Oregon. But I want to remind you, folks, you hear me rave about the CBD pain stick that I use from the people I sold my CBD oil to, and that's ProBioscience, based here in Salem, and you know they only use Oregon-grown CBD, which is the highest quality because Oregon has the toughest standards. You can be assured of getting everything that they say you're getting in the product, which is why their products, especially this pain stick, works so well. Check them out on the web. It's pro-bioscience.com. That's pro, the dash mark, bioscience.com. And if you buy any of their great products, including some great products for you ladies, in addition to products for your pets, use the discount code online, Valentine, and you get 15% off. Plus, they have a rewards program for those of you who are repeat buyers. Pro-bioscience.com. Greg, you started to get into talking about Rush's as is maturing into really a brilliant, I think, an original thinker when it comes to analyzing politics. I think very few people are that way. I have, you know, in the years that you and I have worked together in politics, I think you're one of those original thinkers. And it's having the medium of radio right now. And I want you to comment and tell me whether you agree with this or not. This is the comment I made when I first brought you on the air this morning. I don't think Rush Limbaugh's true impact is yet to be felt or known. And here's the reason I say that. Today in America, we're deeply divided. We have cancel culture. We have social media that's destroying our conservatives' ability to get our message out. I believe that Rush Limbaugh's impact of not only saving radio, AM and FM, but creating the talk show industry is going to be the medium that is going to become, once again, predominant in the conservative message. Do you agree, disagree? What do you think?
Yeah, the numbers simply work. But remember at the beginning, you had radio stations that didn't want to pick him up. Yet he had these huge ratings. So I'm sitting there with my midget radio station being the only Rush affiliate in Oregon, and I get a call from down in your neck of the woods south of you at KPNW, the 50,000-watt monster station out of Eugene, and it's the general manager. And he says, "Hey, Greg, how's that Rush Limbaugh thing working out for you?" I said, "Oh, my God, you know, I'm in this big market with a midget radio station getting these massive numbers, and I cannot understand for the life of me the hesitancy of broadcasters to pick this guy up." He said, "Well, that's why I'm calling you. I'm thinking of picking him up, and I'm just worried." And he said, "What if I get protesters outside the radio station?" And I said, "If you don't, you should hire some." But that was the thing. He was up against all of this preconceived stuff, and they were afraid to pick him up. And then when they did, you know, it was massively, you know, important things. And what he did more than anything else was it went beyond radio. Why do you think Fox News exists the way it does today?
It's because of Rush.
Of the audience that, yes, Rush identified.
Yes.
You know, before that, there was talk radio long before Rush. I mean, you had things like, you know, when I first put by the first Alaska's first news talk station, we had to pick up guys like Larry King. What a waste of broadcasting humanity that guy was. I mean, it was just generic pablum. But that's how broadcasting was back in those days. I can remember one of the big stars, the local stars on KXL. And this guy would sit there, and I can remember him reading recipes on the air. And that was their news talk station. You know, that was how they programmed talk radio. And Rush changed all of that. And it was wonderful. He identified a marketable audience. And who was that audience? Well, that audience is mostly male, but, you know, with female listenership too. But the important thing for the radio broadcaster was the fact that these were older demographics. They had money. They had disposable income. It was the type of business audience you wanted to have on the air because you could sell a heck of a lot of advertising because of it. And so he identified this whole genre out there, and it changed the history of broadcasting. The issue that I wonder about more than anything else is how the heck do you replace a guy like that? And I listen to the guys that fill in for Rush well and tell you, but it, you know, it's like when they tried to, I said at the beginning of the show here, it was like the people that they tried to replace Paul Harvey with. It was impossible.
Yeah, you just didn't do it. Yeah, so in the last couple of minutes,
that audience is still going to be there. That audience is still going to be there.
So give me your best guess in our last 2 minutes as to exactly how you think talk radio progresses with Rush gone. What's your best guess?
You're going to have to identify somebody to lead that group. You need to have that. And there's nobody out there right now. You know, the second biggest guy in the country is, you know, what's
Hannity.
His face out of
Hannity,
Sean Hannity. And, you know, he's good. And, you know, I programmed the guy on a radio station. Wonderful man. But he doesn't have the chops that Rush does. But who does? So it's the market's always going to be there. But in order to really have the kind of influence that it's had when Rush was there, you're going to need a Rush-type personality. And somewhere along the way, hopefully we get that. But I don't know who that would be at this point. So I'm concerned about what happens to the magic of talk radio right now, conservative talk radio.
So do you think that it can stay alive and be a dominant force in pushing back against the leftist movement in mainstream media and social media?
Oh, absolutely. And again, what Rush did was he created that audience, you know, but broadcasters have to have the guts to do it. And most of these guys like to play it safe. I mean, I was doing an afternoon drive on what used to be KGW in Portland, and that was the station Rush was on. So he was on 9 to noon, I was on 3 to 6. And these guys, honestly, around the radio station, they were embarrassed that they had to, you know, put on conservative talk. And yet it worked.
Yeah.
But that's with the corporate ownership. You remember, Jeff, it used to be that you could only own 6 radio stations total. And then the FCC changed that. And by the time I went on the air, on the station with Rush here, before that they were, KEX was owned, the company only was allowed to own 6 radio stations total. And they were only allowed to have one AM FM per market, so they had KEX and their FM. And by the time I got there, the company that owned them had 1,200 radio stations. And that's when the corporate boys came in. And you have, you know, the typical big company crap where you know, I had a guy walk into me one time and say, hey, listen, Greg, you know, because you're on Friday afternoons, you know, 3 to 6. He said, you know, maybe we shouldn't do so much political talk. I said, what are you talking about? He said, well, maybe you might try a Friday afternoon at the movie segment instead of doing political talk Friday afternoon because we think maybe the listeners are a little... I said, what are you nuts?
Greg, unfortunately, we're at the end of our time, friend. I'm sorry. Well, I have to continue this conversation at another time. Thanks for joining us, Greg. Appreciate
it. All right. It's a pleasure, Jeff. Good luck, buddy.
Greg Clapper, folks. Thanks for all your thoughts about Rush Limbaugh today. Remember his family in prayer. His impact is going to remain. Take your hands up next. Good morning, Salem.